Hello, America, and our friends around the world who are our partners in freedom as well. Welcome to the Common Sense Show. My name's Dave Hodges, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We would make a request that because we come to you a lot on digital platforms, that you would share our work because too many people still just watch the mainstream media. Let's help them out and give them a dose of reality. Our guest is Pat Wood, and we're going to get to Pat in just a second. I do a lot of talking about creating parallel economies and not feeding the beast that's enslaving us, namely BlackRock asset managed companies like the big box stores. And part of that is getting your money out of the system as much as you can. You can't do it entirely, and I get that. But if you have IRAs, 401ks tied to the bank, the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can take it because you're an unsecured creditor. They can do the same thing with your bank accounts. So, I teamed up with Noble Gold to advertise for them 6 years ago. I've been a customer for five. And really, listen, I sleep better at night knowing that I'm more protected than most people. I can't say I can cover all eventualities. I don't think anybody can. But you can really help yourself by getting out of the system as much as you can, keep operating capital in the bank, and let Noble Gold take care of your nest egg. They'll give it under your control. Banks lose control. You'll back it with gold that's held its value for 6,000 years. And I highly endorse them. Now, I have to give you an FTC warning. All investments carry inherent risk, and past performance cannot be construed with future expectation. We agree with giving that warning. We wholly do. Too bad FTX didn't have to give that warning as they were raising $40 million for the Democratic Party. But we do the right thing here. But I will tell you this. Remember, five-year customer. DaveHodgesGold.com is where you go to find out more, DaveHodgesGold.com. Or if you feel the sense of urgency that a lot of people do, call them at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And they are the generous sponsor of this show. Pat, good to see you, my friend. I'm glad to hear that you're back in good health. You're looking great.
Yes, thank you.
You look terrific.
It's been really good. It's been a hard slog, but I'm back and got all my marbles by and
Well,
large. Of course, some people say I didn't have any marbles in the first place,
I think to do this work, you have to have lost some of your common sense. We all do. Because nothing good comes out of doing this work. I've been denied employment, and as you know, I got banned from YouTube, and they still haven't told me why. That's okay. I'm having fun over on other mediums here, and I'm not restricted in what I can say. Vaccines suck. Okay. Anyway, but Pat, you're looking good, and it's really great to have you back. And just because we have a lot of new people in our audience, let me just say this as a point of reference. I first became aware of Pat in 1980 when one of my students' fathers gave me a copy of the book that Pat co-wrote with the late Anthony Sutton called Trilaterals Over Washington. And, coming out of an intelligence background family, my dad did some high-level Navy stuff. I knew some things, and my dad and I had a few discussions, but I really wasn't in tune. I was living my life trying to build my young career. I was just newly out of college, and I read this book, and I go, "Holy crap, man, we could be in trouble." And it was a landmark book, and this is where Pat first got my attention, and then he was our partner with us in helping the Yuma farmers and me regain our property rights from the McCain Mafia as we discovered who was really behind it. But Pat, we've had a long association. I value it. And everything that you've been saying about technocracy is coming into play. In fact, if anything, Pat, this is not a criticism, you may have had the time when you started talking about technocracy on my show and in your book and on your other shows that you appear on. I think you might have understated it a little bit because you were being conservative and sticking closely to the facts you could prove. It's gotten bad and it's going to get a
Yes,
lot worse. So
it has.
I'm going to leave it to you, opening starting point on concerns you have going into the new year.
Wow. Well, you're right. Technocracy has really risen to the top at this point, in my
Yes.
opinion anyway. Some people still don't get it, but that they never will. Until the freight train hits them, then they'll get it. What I'm worried about right now is not really all of the other distractions that are obvious. A lot of people are talking about 2024 in terms of black swan events. I see it all over. I just did a search on that. I found it all over the place. Everybody's talking about black swan. I don't, I'm not going to go there because we don't know the future, in detail. And in any case, the speculation would be a whether it be a civil war or whatever, that this is just speculation at this point. But what really worries me today, two things. Last year, you might have caught this, my article, where the main meeting of the Trilateral Commission was held in India this year or last year. And at that meeting, one of the members of the Trilateral Commission stood up, gave a speech, and this was what was taken away from it. He says, this year, 2023, is year one of this new global order. That just hit me right here because of my work with the Trilateral Commission. They were the ones that said, we're going to create a new international economic order. That's what they said all over their literature back in those days. Fast forward 50 years, here we are. Now they're proclaiming that yet last year was year one. Okay. What does that mean? Well, that signaled all the forces of hell, in my opinion, to get with it now, to enforce what the superstructure they put up, to enforce everything, to make this new world order come into play. I believe very strongly that this is technocracy. I've argued for that for so many years now. It is not Marxism. It's not communism. It's
Right.
not socialism. It's altogether different.
Pat, if you were to summarize what technocracy is in a definitive statement, like you'd see in a dictionary, what would it be?
Yes. Well, number one, it was a social system in the sense that they wanted to control and manipulate people. Beyond that, they wanted to grab all the resources. We see this now everywhere. They wanted to take all private property away from people and put it into a global common trust to be managed by them, where we have no access to the resources that are there. And these are the resources that are supposed to take care of the human population. They don't want to do that. They want to, take it offline, where you and I cannot have benefit from it. So, in any case, this resource-based economic system that was cooked up in the 1930s, this is what we see today as just sustainable development. It's exactly the same thing. It's, when I say exactly, it's almost tit for tat, the same thing from the writings and stuff of the early technocrats in the 1930s. So when you look at what Klaus Schwab is talking about, stakeholder capitalism, sustainable development, et cetera. When the Trilateral Commission gave the proclamation that last year was first year of the new world order, that just signaled all over the place for all these scumbags, in my opinion, to just launch attack after attack after attack to kill America and all the freedoms we have and take it all. So n this year, 2024, is the second year of the new world order in their mind. That means there's going to be big trouble this year. I'm not going to speculate totally, but this means big trouble for us because they're bringing the hammer down now. For all these years, they haven't done it. Now they're going to bring it the hammer down. We see buildings. I'm looking at the skyscrapers behind me here. When you see a building go up like that, it didn't just happen yesterday. It took years. Financing, permits, architecture, all that kind of stuff. Getting tenants lined up. It takes years for a building that size to go up. You see it, and all of a sudden it shoots up, and you go, "Wow, where'd that come from? I didn't know that was going to come." This is the way they've planned this system to now well, let me put it this way: they've created the infrastructure for it. It took years to do this. Since even go back to 1973, even, but that it's taken years for them to get this to this point where they can put the key in the lock and turn it. All of the things that we see now are going to come up 2024, 25, 26, 27, leading up to 2030. That's the big trigger word, the date for the United Nations, they say. We're going to see this structure of a new world order being erected right before our eyes. It's going to be visible, it's going to be real, tangible, and it's going to be completely mean-spirited. No,
Yeah, I agree.
for everybody.
I appreciate the fact that you want to stick to the facts and have a minimal amount of speculation, but I'm wondering if isn't also prudent to look at the big things that they talk about because they've been predictors in the past. Let me give you an example. Event 201, Bill Gates, we're going to have a pandemic. Then they do Event 201 to rehearse for COVID. And then voila, we have COVID. And as I look at this, and I want you to kind of choose, pick and
Yes.
choose where you want to go or all three. One of my broadcast partners, Doug Thornton, ex-DHS supervisor, he's been talking grid down for 2 years. And he thinks this is a way that they may avoid the 2024 election. Speculation, but I think it's logical. Pandemic is still being discussed. In fact, New York just passed that rule 213, and it made it through the
Yes.
courts. And they can come and jail you and call it a medical facility. You have no rights, no appeal. You don't have to be diagnosed. And then, of course, there's also the specter of war. But I will say this, Pat. I'm convinced they're not going to release a pandemic, even though they've released Ebola vaccines. They started in Denver on November 27th, Denver Post article, also on Twitter. I don't think they're going to do a pandemic until Russia is neutralized because Russia wouldn't tolerate it. They'll go nuclear. Don't you agree?
Could be, yeah, absolutely. This thing, the thing that's going to come up this year is going to be the WHO, the World Health Organization's. They're going to try it anyway to get this treaty in place, where they can dictate all health policy throughout the
Yes.
world. When this is in place, I think that at that point, they will pull probably they'll pull a trigger on a next the next pandemic, whatever it might be.
I agree. They got to get it in place. Pat, excuse me if I missed something, but I know a treaty has to pass the Senate by a two-thirds vote,
Yes.
and it looks like Biden may have skipped it unless I was asleep when the Senate passed it. What do you know about that?
Well, I know that there's a diff the difference between a treaty and an agreement is that the agreement only has to have 50% of the Senate vote, whereas a treaty has to get two-thirds, I think it is, to pass.
Is there a difference between the force of law that an agreement is less binding or more binding than a treaty? Is there a distinction?
Actually, it really isn't.
Right.
They just changed the name and the rules. This was going all the way back to 1974, when right after the Trilateral Commission was formed. They just slipped that one in. Most of the significant stuff that's had been shoveled at us has been agreements, not treaties. NAFTA, CAFTA, you remember those?
Yes,
They
very
were
well.
agreements. The global warming agreement was agreement, not a treaty. This is a sleight of hand, has all it been. It just drives me crazy, but yeah, that's how they done the slipped it through.
Okay.
So some I, as I understand it, when WHO agreement finally gets finalized, some nations are going to sign on to it as a treaty, period. We, and maybe other current governments too, we will not sign a treaty, but rather an agreement. Go figure. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense, but
I think there's a constitutional basis to challenge that.
oh, totally, totally. And even, the law now says an agreement is a thing that can get passed, but nevertheless, when you change the law of the land and cede sovereignty to this scurrilous group of people in the World Health Organization, that they're laying it out exactly what they want to do to all the nations of the world. That for free, for instance, free speech is done. If these people get their way, they're going to criminalize everything they say, everything we say. And when I say criminalize, it means they can reach out and touch someone like you and me.
Yeah, my feeling is this, and maybe I'm living in the past, but anything that comes from a foreign entity, I'm not listening to. I don't care if this is like sustainable developmental goals. I mean, let me give you one that concerns me. I know they want to move us into stack and pack communities called smart cities. That's no secret. And one of the things I think they're going to do to encourage this is I've been reading now about how the UN and now HUD and the Department of Energy announced this on Friday that they are going to force new homes and then later existing homes to come up to terms in terms of climate change output with regard to air conditioning, refrigeration, and so forth. And I'm thinking the average American doesn't have $500 for a car repair bill. So I went and did some research, and there are estimates out there that vary from 10,000 to 100,000 about what it's going to cost to mitigate your own home. This is sustainable developmental goals. Is this part of the strategy to get us out of our homes and into these stack and packs?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
The movement against single family homes has just been horrendous. We look at, for instance, in Mesa, Arizona, which has always been a traditional single family home community. All, drive down the street, any street in town, you'll see signal, the signal, single family homes. Now we have these massive apartments being built.
Yes.
Huge. I mean, this is not the old 300 unit apartment we saw maybe 20, 30 years ago. These things are less, they span a whole city block. Just, maybe three, four stories, apartments,
Right.
We don't want these out here. I'll tell you what, this they're changing the whole nature of the city
That's true. Yeah.
with these apartment complexes. This is does all the pressure on the homes is driving people into these complexes. Period. Where are they all coming through? Well, I don't know, but you know, people. You see people, young people, whatever, want to exist. They would like to have a home, but they can't. They end up in one of these apartments buildings. And you can see, in my opinion, but 20 years down the road, these are going to be the slums at that point, where when they get run down and they're just going to be a cesspool of humanity.
Yeah, and related to that, not the same thing, but related to it, Biden a couple of months ago allocated $45 billion for commercial conversion to home real estate, micro apartments, if you will, 300 to 500 square feet, and they're all, quote, climate change friendly. That was something they put out in their press release. In other words, you're not in a climate change home, you can't afford to be there, but we have converted commercial real estate because we've collapsed the commercial real estate industry, and you can come live here. Do you think that's another strategy to get us into smart cities?
Well, yeah, they don't really need to drive us into smart cities. They're already here. They've erected that around us to where you can't move now. And nobody really has seen this because it was invisible at the first, but not now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in fact, a Mesa is getting retrofitted with a new smart meter. This is we already have them already, but no, now they're going to have soup version 2.0. I don't know what it's going to do, but they're ripping all the old ones off, and they're putting new smart meters on. I'm sure they will have other extended capabilities. I don't know what it is yet. I'd like to find out, but you don't just do that because, well, why just do the same thing over again? They're going to have new expanded capabilities, and you know, people just accept it, you know, say, well, you just can't, you know, too bad. Well, they just, you know, repairman came out, said, well, that's what you have to do, you know, so everybody goes along with it. Just gotta get out of my house, get off my property.
I know. A lot of communities have opt-outs for the smart meters, and some, like Fort Collins, don't. My friend Virginia Farber found that out the hard way as they came with the cops and jumped her fence without her permission and put a new smart meter on her home. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much choice. When we look at, I want to go back to one thing you said. I agree with you, the surveillance technology and smart meters are part of it. Are enough to begin to enforce technocracy of the future, but they're spending a lot of energy on 15-minute cities. I mean, they're beta testing it in cities in the UK like Oxford, and they limit your travel and you have to have a digital passport to get out, and they'll fine you if you violate that. So it seems to me there is a move to get people into congregated areas where they can control your movements.
Well, the concept of a 15-minute city is exactly it. This is a it's setting up a digital prison is what they're doing.
Yeah,
It's
exactly. Open air concentration camp is what I've called it. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is going to be the wave of the future for sure. All you have to do is take a string and a point and just circle on any given city where it could be a 15-minute city. That's so easy to do and so easy today to enforce. It's just whether using geofence technology, smartphones and other type of tracking devices and stuff, so easy to implement. It's just for them, this is a cakewalk. cakewalk completely. So we're going to see this more of it, and it could happen in Phoenix here, probably will, at some point, and it
Why
can.
do dictators want to control movement? I mean, this is what they did in the Soviet Union, where they had the guard towers every 20 miles. Why do they want to control movement so much?
There's probably different ways to look at that. But you have to control people so that they cannot congregate against you. That's a big threat for these people, I think. It's kind of unstated, but I think some of them anyway, worry that there's going to be a mass r uprising of people. If they can get together, that they'll come after them, like happened in the French Revolution, for instance, off with their head.
I see evidence of that too. I totally agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah,
They're
so.
operating out of fear, and this is why they have to strip us of everything we own so we don't have the resources to stand up.
Yeah. And there's probably some other things that we could paste into this too. The most of the people that can be controlled already are in cities somewhere. So that's low hanging fruit for them at this point. Just slap a lid on the cities, and you have 65% of the population under your control right there, and the other 40%. Aren't they're out in the rural communities? They can't do anything because they can't get together. Especially if free speech is canceled this year. That's one of the other things I worried about, by the way. The United Nations is full on to kill free speech this year.
On the internet, yes.
Yeah, well, on everywhere. But the internet, yes, but with right now the internet is really the big thing, but it's not the only thing. I think we're going to go back to paper and ink, and in the end, remember the old days of the printing presses.
Yeah, but Pat, here's the deal, okay? This records every keystroke. This record here, let me put it here where you can see it. This records everything you say, and we know it goes to the NSA. I've had people, ex-agents from the NSA like Vance Davis on my show, and they say every keystroke, every word you say is recorded. There's a database file on everybody. He went so far to say, and other people told me this, there's a threat matrix score that everybody has. And in fact, one guy told me, not Vance, but an unnamed source said, Dave, you have a background in psychology. You know what the MMPI is? And I said, yeah, it's a personality measure test of 440 questions, 16 scales with an aggregate score. And he said that's almost identical to what they have to a threat assessment with the NSA. Are you aware of that, by the way?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's just they've created the superstructure, and it's almost in place to lock down. There will be a day when it
When
does
does
get
the when does the
locked down.
when does the key get locked? For me, I've been saying it's when CBDC comes in and you don't control your money. What do you think the key is when the game is over and they have total control?
I don't know where, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know where it's gonna happen, but theoretically we know that they're creating the superstructure to eventually be the prison, if you will, where they put anybody in it that they want to. We know that if, for instance, if you cannot buy and sell, you're going to be homeless pretty much on the street. This would be fine with them.
It's better than burning in hell.
Well, yeah.
You know where I'm going with that comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll starve to death before I'll burn in hell. I know that's a brave statement when you're not starving,
Yeah,
but listen,
I
Pat, I know there's no question in my mind,
know.
CBDC is leading to Mark of the Beast.
Yes, that's right. It will. But in the meantime, yeah, the question is, when will they will it, when they will well when will they turn the key? The Trilateral Commission has already said that last year was year one.
Yep.
If this is year two, maybe they're only going to, year 3, 4, maybe 2030. I wonder if my audio, my video is mixed. Can you see, hear me
Yeah, you're
still?
frozen, but I hear you just fine. So
I know.
we're getting a still image with an intelligent voice. I can live with this.
Well, I if I I think I can reset this here. Give me a second.
Okay. All
There,
right. And there you are. You're back
who
in
knows?
movement.
I
Okay,
know.
good.
Yeah, who
Okay.
knows? So in any case, this is year two. Maybe it's going to be 2030. Maybe that's what they're shooting for. But I think I see that a lot of signs that they're rushing the process right now to move up the date, not 2030, but maybe 28, 27, 26, whatever. It could
Do
be 2024, 24. It could
they
be.
need do they need a crisis to meet their timelines?
I think there's enough crises right now to pick from that they don't have to go beyond what we have now. We have a, you know, the and I say that all of the crises, that I call it the polydoom of of crises, these are all man-made. They're not natural crises. These are all man-made.
Yes, I agree.
So they have some measure of control over them, all to say, and they can pull the trigger on any of them. One thing, by the way, one thing is not going to happen, I don't think, is an EMP type of attack.
I would agree with that. They don't want to have to rebuild the entire structure.
No, a technocracy depends on the technical connection. They're not going to destroy that and make all of us be out here. We'll get our pitchforks and torches and whatever. We'll come and hang them.
You know,
It's,
you bring up
you
an
know.
interesting point. What is the flashpoint for civilian resistance on a mass scale? Have you thought about that?
I don't know. I hate to see a civil war in America.
I hear you, because that's when we'll get invaded. I totally agree with you.
But I hope that doesn't happen. It may be likely it's going to happen at some point. That will depend probably on the attacks on free speech. That will really put pressure for that to happen. When people cannot speak out, when people are being so frustrated with everything, where people like will be thrown in jail, like the J6 people have been thrown in jail because you said something,
Yeah,
and you were
Owen
for
Schroyer,
because
yep.
you were deemed to be a terrorist,
Yes.
and all your rights are just stripped away. They'll
Yeah.
people are going to be really upset at that point because they can't speak out, they pro can't protest, they can't re get re a redress of grievances, and the blow. Eventually, this society will blow.
With the 2040, excuse me, the 2014 first Central American immigration movement with the peace train and so forth, we got 19 cases of Ebola out of it that we know of, and two people died. I considered our country lucky. Sorry the people died, but I mean, we're lucky it wasn't millions. But
Yes.
let me read to you just a couple of short paragraphs here. This appeared in the Denver Post, and it was on Twitter. Denver Health administers first shots of Ebola vaccines. In a milestone moment, the Mile High City on November 27th, Denver Health administered the first live Ebola vaccine for preventative measures to some patients. And aside, Pat, I covered Crusell Laboratories' claimed in 2008 they had an Ebola vaccine, and then after I published it, they scrubbed it. Okay, next paragraph. In 2015, HHS designated Denver Health as one of 13 regional emerging special pathogens treatment centers in the U.S. Let me tell you where my conspiratorial mind goes to. Event 201 and Corona. Am I being paranoid and thinking this could happen based on what I'm seeing here?
It could.
We have
Again.
millions of people crossing our border that we're not health checking.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have a powder keg for any number of diseases. Ebola is really a scary disease for sure, but
Not 90% fatal, yeah.
it's not as easily transmissible as coronavirus is. But that doesn't mean that it can't be weaponized further
In 2009, when I started investigating the Crucell laboratory claims, I found repeated research, and it looked like it was replicable. In other words, good research, more research along the same lines. And it was Canadian research primarily that said that they believe from the evidence they've seen that Ebola on a limited basis could be aerosolized and be transmitted that way. And it could stay on surfaces, certain surfaces, for longer than immediate contact. And that was 2009. I don't know the efficacy of that, Pat, but I'm telling you, the weaponized part, you may be right, and I'll tell you why. I published on my website back in 2015 the fact that the CDC owns the patent for Ebola. You can't do that unless you've modified it. And when you said weaponized, listen, I can't prove they've weaponized the vaccine, but how do you get it to be patented and you own the patent and the royalty to all treatments? By the way, I'm sure you're aware of that too.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly right. You know, this whole thing about genetic modification. This is a meme. It is everywhere today. It started out with seeds. You know, Monsanto making Roundup Ready, whatever, cotton or whatever, and. Now we see animals of all kinds have been genetically modified, and now we see these messenger RNA therapies that have been passed off as a vaccine, but they're changing that whole structure of hu the human race with these messenger RNA based shots. This is intentional because this that we see this this the genesis of this genetic movement. They want to change everything. It doesn't matter what it is, viruses or your DNA, it just doesn't matter. They want to change everything. So when we consider that what happened with COVID, it wasn't so much about a nasty virus. It was about the changing the structure of humanity with the 3 or 4 billion shots that were delivered to people. Now, every single new development for a vaccine, quote unquote, is all going to be based on messenger RNA. In some cases, it's going to be straight DNA that will be injected.
With unpredictable long range effects. That's what I would
Yes,
add. Yeah.
that's right, totally.
You've
And
jumped. Let me play devil's advocate here. And by the way, my intuition tells me you're absolutely right. But I've taught research and stat and I've written courses, so I've got to stick to my scientific training. Weinstein came out in an interview with Tucker Carlson and said 17 million people have died as a result of taking the
yes.
vaccine. More to come. Okay, I agree. There's an incubation period.
Yes.
But I won't jump to the cause and effect. I looked at the data. If you have 60% of the people that took vaccine in a country, and I've ran the data statistically, I ran it last night, as a matter of fact, you don't have 60% of the people prematurely dying, but you have a bump of about 40 to 50% increase in your death rate. That's why our insurance rates are off the chart. I think that becomes cause and effect, but we can't prove it statistically yet. What I think we can show is there's a correlation. More country people get vaccinated in a country, the more people die premature deaths. And the evidence is life insurance payouts that are bankrupting the insurance industry. But I think you're right. You're alluding to cause and effect, but the first step is to establish a correlation. That's been done. And that will get you banned from YouTube. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you can't even talk scientific data. And this is, these are all morbidity statistics, Pat. They're not in dispute. We're
Yes.
talking public morbidity statistics. Vaccination rate, morbidity rate, as one goes up, the other goes up. That's called a positive correlation. I ran the numbers last night. A strong correlation is 0.7, and I got 0.73. But when I isolated the nations that had 50% or above vaccinated, and I eliminated like the 5% people countries, the number jumped up to 0.8. It's an extremely strong correlation between vaccination and early death.
Yes. And the something that people really don't want to talk about today is about population reduction
Yes.
as a policy.
Well, they talk
And
about it. The globalists talk about it.
they do. For some reason, it's too scary for most people to talk about down here. But they're intent on declining population at this point. This has been noted by, like for instance, the Club of Rome,
Yep.
with their Limits to Growth pop book that came out what 1970 or something. They've been on this bandwagon all this time, and we see little snippets of it here and there, like with Planned Parenthood. Planned parenthood, but it's getting in your face now with all this stuff going on with the messenger, changing the DNA of human structure. And w this is going to be this is not an event, but a process, right? That population reduction. It's a process because we see wave after wave after wave of things that are putting pressure po on population and deaths, obviously. You can't say, well, if you go and look at event 201, for instance, okay, we see it. We know exactly what they did. There was just obvious to anybody looking at it. But that was only part of the process, not just an event. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect
So,
sense.
yeah. So, we shouldn't focus on the event. We should focus on the process that is killing us. We see all of these things coming at us to drive population down. Eventually, they're going to hit it. They're going to hit the nail on the head. Yeah. So this is another reason why you mentioned the Weinstein and Tucker Carlson interview. He talked about free speech. That was a question that Tucker led off with.
Yeah.
Is free speech going to die in 2024? Yes, that's the right question
Well, they
to
have to
ask.
kill free speech so that we can't organize against what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. And he gave so many tells in that his answers, Weinstein, that you just ch go through the thing and pick out the things he says, little nuggets. And we're really screwed here because if we cannot cry out, the only thing left is for us to die in silence. This is how every major genocide has happened in the last 150 years at least, where first free speech, the media, the TV, newspapers, whatever, all are silenced to where people cannot cry out. And then that's when the killing starts. And the evil part of men has not changed. So if they're intent on killing free speech, and they are, in my opinion, totally vindictive, mean-spirited, kill it. If they are successful at this, we should not let them do it, but they're going to do it if they can. If we lose our ability to communicate like now, like we are through media or whatever, blogs, Substack, whatever, if we cannot speak out, we will never know when the other person dies. And that's how genocide gets started.
I've looked at, and this is along the lines of what you're saying, I've looked at smart cities extensively. Tucson, you can't really find it in, it's funny, Pat, you can't find Tucson on Google with their smart cities, but you sure as heck can find it if you go to their site and search. They obscure the general search. I thought that was funny. Now, I'm giving a statement that's about 6 months old. But here's what I didn't find. If you and I want to build an office building for a public, okay, so let's say we want to open a four-story accounting tax building. We have to have the handicap ramps. We have to have handicap-friendly restrooms. We have to accommodate the elderly and the handicapped. Okay, and there's all kinds of federal and state regulations we got to follow, and it's part of your inspection process. And you'll never get off the ground with your permits unless you've done those things. Yet when I look at the smart cities, I see nothing in there that protects the elderly and the handicapped like we see with Americans with Disabilities Act. And I go back to this, Pat. Fabian socialism, one of the five pillars of sociology. If you don't put more into society than you take out, you should be done away with. Am I being paranoid and thinking this is where we're going to start is genocide with the elderly?
We've already seen this, haven't we?
Go ahead and explain it.
Well, when COVID hit, who are the people who got isolated in nursing homes and
Oh my
assisted?
goodness, yes. Very good analogy. Thank you.
Oh my
Very good,
gosh.
yes.
It was huge. There was no compassion whatsoever for those people.
And then
They
they gave them,
died.
yeah, they gave
They
them
died
remdesivir
in
and killed them.
solitude. And you know, I see, I remember the people on the other side of the window, out on the outside of the building, where grandma is inside, you know, oh, I want to touch you. And they wouldn't let them in, so they had to communicate through a glass window, and they could not get to their loved ones. Those people died in solitary confinement. This is.
And there was incentive to murder too. And just two stats: 13,000 in many municipalities for many medical facilities, 13,000 for a COVID diagnosis that didn't have to be validated, and 39,000 for a COVID death. And I've had doctors tell me repeatedly, "Yeah, I treated traumatic brain injury from a motorcycle accident, and they changed my analysis to COVID." Yeah, it was they gave financial incentives to exacerbate the statistics, didn't they?
Well, yes, absolutely, that's true. But you know, back to the to just to the question, are the elderlies on the target list? Those who cannot put in, you know, can't produce anymore, they don't mean anything to these people, because the technocrat mind values efficiency more than anything in the world. Everything has to be efficient. And so when you look at society from their point of view, well, where is the efficiency is in the elderly population. They're useless for anything. They can't put out, they can't produce. All they do is suck money. what they put into their what they already put into Medicare and so on. But they suck money out of society. Why just get rid of them? We don't need them. But this was the attitude that swept the whole world when COVID hit. So you ask, well, could this happen again? Or is it a theme? Do we see a theme here? Yes, I think we do. We see no concern whatsoever for those people in that, 70 plus age bracket. They're absolutely expendable.
Yeah, I agree with you. And along those lines too, AI is coming in, and we only got a few minutes left, but I want to get your reaction as AI is coming in. And so there's talk now. 3 years ago, there were 14 cities that had universal income programs,
Yes.
basic income. Today, it's over 90. Do you think that these globalists who are Fabian socialists will actually support people to do nothing for decades with AI taking over?
Not for long.
See, there's your useless eaters that get exterminated second.
Oh yes. This is the second thing that I put in my update this year for 2024, that things that keep me up at night, right? I sleep just fine, but when you say things that keep me up, okay, the second thing is AI. Last year was the first year of the AI revolution, period, hands down, with the release of ChatGPT. It blew the lid off of the whole thing. It was already there and was coming on, but when OpenAI released it in whatever November and of 22, we out now have the first full year, which coincided with the Trilateral Commission's saying this is the first year of the new old world order. Okay, let's put this together now. What we have with in store for this year, OpenAI will come out with their new version for sure. But now Google has leapfrogged them with this new product they just released last month called Gemini. What blows the socks off of OpenAI, and it's in Google's hands. They're going to roll this out to every conceivable product that they can get their hands on, and they're opening up the AI or the API for other people can suck on it, get their whole hands on it too. This is going to revolutionize the world, totally.
What's the purpose of it? Main purpose.
Of Google's Gemini, it combines all of the different aspects of AI that are conceivable are out there at this point. Image, video, text, anything, language, it all can be combined at the same time with their AI. This
Power,
doesn't happen with OpenAI right now. It's limited in the channel that can that it can. Well, for instance, the first thing that young people did with OpenAI, they figured they could write term papers.
yeah, I know. Pat, we're not going to be able to, I know, I hear you. We're not going to go down that. We don't have time to go down that. I'm going to have you back on to talk about AI. But my gosh, it's scary. And you've teased us because I'd like to get you back on sooner rather than later to talk about this. But in the time we have left, how do people follow your work?
Technocracy.news. I let all the articles that I post every day stay live for 3 days. That's it.
Okay.
Now I'm on a paid premium subscription. If you want to get more, you can give me some money.
Okay, I hear you. But listen, I'll be in contact because we need to follow up with AI. We just opened up Pandora's
Totally.
box. Yeah,
Yes.
okay, but this is mind-boggling. We've come this far. But Pat, thank you so much. I'm glad you're back in the saddle. We need you, and I look forward to having you back on. Thanks so much for coming on today.
You bet. Thank
God bless.
you.